Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you consciously living in the quantum reality, in our quantum world, quantum universe? How conscious are you of living that way? Well, we're not always thinking that way, but we need to learn how to quantum think. And in order to do that, we're going to speak with the author again of the book, Do You Quantum Think? Diane Collins. Diane, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you so much. I'm always delighted to be in conversation with you and with all your listeners in this quantum realm we're in together.
Right. And I have a huge respect for my listeners because I have pretty far out, you know, consciousness type of shows that they seem to really like. So they must be very special people.
Well, I know that. And you know what? I'm putting myself there because the fact is that I'm one of your listeners and now viewers, now that you're doing also on video, but I know and love you as a friend, of course, and as a colleague in the consciousness crowd, as I call us. And I'm also, your show, Energy Stew, is one of my favorite shows, aside from knowing you. And I love, you know, the conversations that you stimulate, and you have always great guests. So you're right, because people who stay with these conversations are people who are, right, the people who want to awaken, who want to live a conscious life, who want to be in the more expanded reality that people are using that buzzword, quantum, right?
Right. And yeah, you know, it is maybe getting to be a little bit tiring to use the word quantum all the time nowadays. You're one of the pioneers.
Right.
The world is catching up. But we need to. It just shows the success of the work you do, in that we need to understand that not only is quantum physics about just how things work through consciousness in the universe, how the world, the universe shows up because we're conscious, but also how do we show up to ourselves?
That's the question, right? Because when you talk about what is the quantum reality, and you just said it, the great paradigm shift from scientific materialism of the 17th century, also known as Newtonian view, classical mechanical worldview of science, the classical science, and then the shift has been where they said universe is physical matter only, like a giant clockwork machine. The shift is to this quantum consciousness-based, mind-based. What I mean by mind is what we hold in awareness. And so it does come back to us, because the key factor of the quantum reality is the observer effect. In quantum think, I call it the distinction observer-creative reality. So we know that in the language of, you know, in the parlance of the spiritual wisdom masters, where they say the observer and what is being observed is one. There's no actual separation. And
say that what is being observed can't even exist without the observer.
Exactly. But when you say, you know, how are we relating ourselves? Now, this is very new, because from the old, what I lovingly call the old world view of where the orientation is around physical matter, and where in the physical domain, we look separate, we look different, and we're not maybe relating to the fact that we exist in the field. It's like, you know, I always picture the scientist, you're looking around and you're looking out at the cosmos and you're saying, what's it all about? You're looking at matter, trying to get down to the micro of it. and figure it all out as if it's separate. And now we know that we, you know, again, the observer effect, we are the ones who are literally generating our own experience by what we bring to our observation. So by observation is, I mean, not what we see visually, like perceptually, but by observation, it's what we hold in our awareness.
It's very deep and important, because it's being the creator of reality through our consciousness. And, you know, it wouldn't exist if we aren't there experiencing its existence. And so we're responsible, we become responsible for everything. It's the, you know, as you say, it's a creator reality. And that never happened before. That's why science has been so abusive of reality. You know, they don't take responsibility for the planet, for the ecology, for even our human lives. For instance, in the medical world, you know, pharmaceutical world, somehow our spirit isn't what's important. It's just whatever they can sell us to make money. And so we need to take back our spirit of a reality and own it so that we can create a better world.
Exactly. And it's the recognition. And you know, Peter, the premise of quantum think is a system of thinking, as you said, 21 principles, distinctions in thinking that bring together the insights of quantum science. I'm not a scientist, but I've certainly studied it enough. And I have a mentor who is a quantum physicist, famous Dr. Fred Allen Wolf. But what I was saying is that what I discovered, what I call my revelation, is that we imagine we're thinking freely and independently all the time. And we have that opportunity in every moment. But in fact, we're not, that we're, our thinking as a humanity is shaped by the cultural assumptions that we call the overarching worldview. So when you look at these two, quote, realities, the one that is shaped by the assumptions of Newtonian science, only physical matter is real, break it down into constituent parts. And I look at, well, how did that map on to our thinking? Is that everything became mental, conceptual constructs. And that's why, then when we look at that, we can take a literal, not a virtual, a literal quantum think, quantum leap in consciousness and start to look and live from the more expansive and up-to-date assumptions of a quantum worldview, that it is a holistic, what you're saying. It's holistic. There are distinctions, yet no actual separations, that we exist in fields. So that's how we're, what we're emanating out from ourselves. And you know this as your profession, of course, and your gifts of being a master in the subtle energy realm, that we have, when you add in to that the observer effect, we can consciously influence what it is in our subtle field that we're emanating. And this is what we call, well, you know, living a masterful life. So when you look at, well, you could say that they're trying to make money, which they are, but if you look at a more, you know, a cosmic perspective of it, and you look at that, until this phase of evolution of humanity, where we're in the shift right now, where we're shifting from that separation consciousness, where we're identified more by the physical, you know, similarities and differences.
It's more about science identifying things as you say, separate, but in a separate way that it's basically consciously dead. science doesn't even acknowledge that we have a consciousness.
But this is what I'm saying, is that the thinking is conditioned, their thinking has been conditioned unbeknownst until you make this distinction under those assumptions of the scientific materialism. So you're it's not like you're consciously saying, oh, everything is separate, but it's like the background of the culture is conditioning that thinking. So what people are not relating to the earth as the host of our bodies, of us, of our life, we're not relating, as you say. You're seeing it as a construct. Oh, I have to dump 200 submarines. Let me put them in the bottom of the ocean. I actually read that about Russia years ago. But, you know, there all this that's going on, or that we're not replenishing natural resources in the way that nature has ordained.
Well, even more so, for instance, there's a physicist who's been on Energy Stew a number of times, Jude Caravan. She's a physicist talking about...
Right, I'm familiar with her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Talking about that this is, that everything is intelligent in the universe. This is an intelligent universe. In other words, basically it's conscious. Because how can it not be intelligent? Because otherwise it would just all be chaos and there'd be no form. There would be nothing. We couldn't exist. So when you understand that we're living in an intelligent universe, we want to support that smartly instead of thinking of it in ways that we can abuse it, thinking of ways that not only we can enhance it, but it can enhance us. And we're just getting to that. There's so many new scientists, so many new discoveries and talented people who are not only helping us wake up like you are, but helping the world come to life more, that we can play with it more.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. But you know, you and I were talking the other day about when you look in the world, and by the way, I like what you said about the responsibility. And I actually, on my Instagram, I have one very popular post. It's a picture of nature, actually, from California. But it's what I said is the highest responsibility is what we hold in mind. And what you're saying is like people really get that. But when we come to what's going on right now in the everyday, you know, media, news media driven reality, where we see, and I know that, you know, your wife Debbie, who's a friend, a good friend, and understands these planetary energies that are going on. I'm a very avid student of planetary energy trends for a long time. And you look at that we're in a time of restructuring of all institutions, of government institutions, of corporations, everything, including it comes back to ourselves too as individuals, but in the bigger sense. So when you think of, the institutions conventionally, and I'm talking about in the developed world right now, but the institutions that we developed were born under that old world view, separation thinking, linear thinking, ordinary logic, one dimensional. So it wasn't, as you say, it didn't bring the spirit into it. They were spiritual, the scientists, but it didn't come filter into the mainstream of thinking. Our education system, we don't learn about what I call the five natural faculties of mind: intent, intuition, subtle energy, how to work with it, resonance, how that sympathetic resonance brings things into form, and meditation, which I consider a natural faculty of ours. So when you look at what's going on right now, and this tremendous upheaval and disruption, and looking at, obviously, everybody, nobody can stop talking about the USA President Donald Trump, or whatever, however anyone feels about him. But when I look at it, I look at it as these are the disruptive forces, because as you and I know, evolution is the way of the of nature, of the divine. And so we're going to awaken. Is it going to be conscious awakening or crisis awakening? Now, as a and what you're saying is right now we're seeing both, the both and. Yes. There's a lot of conscious awakening going on, but the crisis awakening is also happening. So you see the president, and it's a disruptive force because we're breaking up the way these institutions that were born under an earlier time no longer fit. Does that make sense?
Right, and they're not being destroyed, let's call it responsibly, to make them better. They're just being destroyed because of greed and corruption. And and that's, I think, why it's so disruptive to so many of us who see that happening. But instead of making ourselves crazy about it, I think the idea is to quantum think about it and understand what you're getting at, is that chaos is a creative force, and we need to allow that. And then what's going through my mind while you're talking is that society has tried to be very smart, but not wise. And
well said.
Right. And the wisdom is really where the future is. And how to quantum think is how to be wise. And so we're really coming into an age where we have to, let's call it quantum think, but just to say that it's much too general, because people really need to look at the distinctions that you use to quantum think with, and they can find that in your book, Do You Quantum Think? So it's really about allowing ourselves to become free thinkers, not smart thinkers. Smart thinkers are trying to deduce everything. We're trying to figure it out. Right now, it's almost impossible to figure out, except to come from a quantum space of creation and allow, let's call it our higher consciousness, our higher mind, to feed us rather than...
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, rather than our normal deductive mind.
That's right. So this is what... Now, we don't throw out the deductive mind because we need both. It's not an either, you know... Part of the paradigm shift is one of the features going from an either or is, you know, energy, a particle or a wave. Well, it's both. It has both properties, to the both and. So we look at, okay, we're great at deductive reasoning, at ordinary logic, at linear, step-by-step incremental thinking. And what you're saying and what we're both, you know, encouraging for all of us who are in this together, we're all in this together, Ollie. Right. That it is going, you know, in fact, I use a quote from Upanishads that the sage must distinguish between knowledge and wisdom. That's in my new video course. And because it is all about wisdom, as you're saying. So this is why it becomes really, I call a sacred duty to be able to tune into ourselves, to be able to connect to those faculties of consciousness, to the faculties of mind, to learning how to, in this case, intuition is a very, very important faculty, because intuition connects us to the non-local mind field.
Intuition is listening to the higher mind.
Exactly. Listening to the higher mind. Now for that, and we go back to, you know, creating a new relate. How do we do it? Creating a new relationship with the chaos with the circumstances that we see every day, even though a lot of them are distressing, tragic, sad, that breaks your heart to see some of what's going on. But at the same time, it's up to us because we are emanating through the field. So if we can hold the column of light, be the column of light, to and have that stillness, go to that center and have that clarity. That's why I say the meditative faculty is natural to us. It's the zero point state where the chitter chatter, you know, settles down and simmers down so that you can hear the higher mind.
Right. Right. It's a lifestyle that allows us to free our minds so that we don't have to know everything or think everything. We can just be aware of so much more. Because it's the awareness that grows out when you stop boxing your mind.
That's right. Now, so it's like, well, I like what you said before about the free, because to the extent that we have automatic conditioning, and this is the fact, you know, that I say transformation is not a one-time event and mastery is a moment by moment proposition. It's not like you have to monitor every thought, like, you know. However, if you find yourself in a state, in a literally lower consciousness, you know, or whatever its frequencies, but a state that you can immediately recognize it and snap out of it. And it really is that simple when you are in the awakened thinking, awakened awareness. And so we are, the idea is that we are living in the transcendent awareness of awareness, that higher mind, that connection to all that is, to source creation, and simultaneously playing the roles that we play in everyday worldly life as the immanent self, the self that came in with the soul blueprint, the human design
blueprint. Exactly. Yeah, we have to be true to who we're here to be. But that's a natural instinct that we have to be those people. And life actually treats us the way we have to be, because it's holistic. And so we actually have to surrender to being universal and stop trying to figure everything out, have reason for everything. The more open-minded we are, the more ahas we'll constantly get, and all of a sudden the world is brighter.
Right. And you know, the thing is, when you look at how things are speeding up, right, and it's a scientific fact, by the way, you said universal self, and I was a guest on Barbara Marx Hubbard, who I'm sure you know.
Sure, she's been on the show.
Oh yeah, she doesn't call it a show, she calls Awaken the New Species. It's a 52-week program, and she has certain guests, and I was honored to be her first guest. Great. Yeah. And this is what she calls it, the new species she named Homo Universalis. So going from Homo Erectus to Homo, whatever.
Homo Universalis.
And it really, so you just really said the same thing. But getting back, it's like to be able to see that we actually, it's ineffective. We actually can never catch up with the acceleration of change that's going on, and that's a scientific fact. We know that there is infinite amount of information coming into us every day because of our amazing technologies. In fact, and then there's this, you know, everyday unfathomable amount of surprise, you know, whether you like it or not. So the question is, how do we take this leap to quantum thinking, to a quantum worldview. So because we cannot use the old linear step-by-step, trying to get all the circumstances lined up. So, it's what you're saying. It's like we need to tap into these other higher qualities of our universal humanness.
All right, so
to be
now
able
let's
to live effectively.
But let's now talk about practically going about this, because people certainly can purchase your book, Do You Quantum Think? And you also are starting an incredible program that's very extremely inexpensive that I'm surprised at how generous you are with it. Because just please explain it. We only have a couple minutes left.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's called Master. It's an online video course, and it's on Thinkific platform. And the thing is that it's a 28-day course, and it has a theme each week to master. I'm looking at mastering the five natural faculties of mind, mastering living high quality relationships, mastering a conscious relationship with money, very important. So, and mastering living your purpose. And I charged the price of a movie date, as I say, so you can figure that out. And because, and every advisor, marketing, PR, they all said to me, you have to charge more. And I said, you know what? I want everybody to have this. This is really honestly,
it's amazing. So
and my husband is my business
very cheap.
Partner.
And the price.
Here's what it is. In an essence, it's called Master Your Mind. Master Your, it's a mastery course in living well. It's quantum think applied to life, and it's me walking you through it.
Right. It's 28 lessons, basically.
Yeah.
And people can buy the whole program for how much?
$25.
$25. That's crazy. So I think this is amazing, and I know there's a trailer that people can get. So just why don't you give everybody contact so they can get what they need?
Okay, well you can get that. I'll give that link, and it's my website is DianeCollins.com. Diane has two N's: DianeCollins.com/masterclass. MasterClass, and that will take you to the landing page for the course.
And they can look at the trailer too.
You can look at the trailer. You can. Right. I may open it up for the first one to be a free trial for a special few weeks in the next couple of weeks. So
great.
Not that you need it free every, but it's like. Okay, people either resonate or they don't. But the fact is, somebody said, just let me say, one person who recently was in it, who I consider one of the very higher consciousness, higher mind, very smart, came from Stanford. And he said to me, when he did the course, he said it was like a consciousness review. This is her.
That's wonderful. That's why, I'm so excited about it, but we really have to end the show. Diane Collins, thank you so much for being on Energy.
Thank you. Thank you. Always such a pleasure. Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.